Last week, if you were here, I missed you. I don't know if you missed me, but I missed you. Last week, I was actually at First United Methodist Church in Sweetwater, and they invited me to come and share a message with them last week on my favorite topic. What was it? Money. Oh, man, I told them, I said, golly, like having your head sewn to the carpet, man. But I was also sick, and so you missed out on the germs. They got the germs out there at Sweetwater, but that's a great church out there, a good friend of mine. And I have had pastor friends that I've invited here to do that very thing, so I felt like I needed to return the favor. I wanted to kind of mention something coming up next week. You'll be hearing more about it in my email this week. But we will have a discovery class, which is basically, and it'll be in the fellowship hall at 9 o'clock next week. I'm going to try to start having those every couple of months. And the purpose of that class is to get so y'all can get to know us better as a church, and we can get to know you better, and you can find out who we are, what we're about, and how you can be involved if you want to be. So that's going to be happening next week. But also, we're going to have, I'm trying to start doing this every November, what we call a Covenant Sunday. We've been doing it for several years now. And what that is it reminds us, well, first of all, in 1904, did you know our church was formed in 1904? Anybody, how many of you didn't know that? Few of you. 1904, November of 1904, down the street, we had, I believe it was 26 charter members that started Wiley United Methodist Church. At that time was Wiley Methodist Church. There was no, that merger had not happened. And so I take that month of November for us to remember that we are a people of covenant. And we'll talk more about that next week. But that God is a God of covenant, and He has called us to be a people of covenant, and what that means and how we do that. And you will be invited next week. If you're already a member of our church, then I will ask you to reaffirm that. Do you still make covenant with us, and do we make covenant with you? The jury's still out on a couple of you. As far as Mike, I think I'm going to go ahead and approve you next week again. That'll be good. But we will have that opportunity to reestablish covenant, even if you may have been a member for 40 or 50 years. And there will also be an opportunity next week if you are new to the church and want to make that covenant. You can join any Sunday. It doesn't have to be next week, but that will be a formalized opportunity for us to talk about covenant. So if you would, turn with me. They loved it last week when I said that. Turn with me if you will. I'm training them in Sweetwater. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. This passage that I'm fixing to read, Mark chapter 12, we're going to pick it up in verse 28, is known as the Great Commandment. It comes out of Jesus quotes out of Deuteronomy. And it's interesting, he's been teaching the people. He's had a crowd of people around him, and he's been teaching them on all sorts of topics. I went back and kind of, what was the context of this when this question was asked? And it's interesting, I was actually asked this last week, the exact same question Jesus was asked prior to this passage, and that is, if someone is married, and on earth, they're married, and the husband dies, and the wife marries another husband, and he dies, and then marries another husband, and he dies. Who will be husband and wife in heaven? That question is asked Jesus. I was asked that question last week in my office, and I went, "Hey, but I can actually tell you exactly what Jesus said." And that's not the sermon today, but I found it kind of interesting. That's a long way to get to where it's not the sermon today, right? But the answer to that question Jesus said was, we're not married in heaven. You never notice when you go to a wedding, it says, till death do us part. Now, that don't be sad, because Cheryl will have the pleasure of my company in heaven. She's going to get that, you know, that blessing. But we will not be husband and wife in heaven. So anyway, so that we pick it up. They're asking him all these questions. And we pick it up in verse 28, Mark 12, 28. Then one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. And he begins to quote from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you here and you are welcome here. We ask you now for you to speak. We want to hear your heart and your mind. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's sermon is God's heart for Wiley United Methodist Church. And I spoke of this earlier when we were praying, that God has a heart. He has a will for our nation. He has a heart, a will for us and as a church. And guess what? Our church is not this physical building. Everybody take your index finger. Now point. That's the church. That's the church. Jesus has a heart for the church. He has a heart for our church. So the question is, what is it? I mean, if God has a heart for our nation, if he has an opinion in this election, we should be seeking out with all our heart, what is your heart for as I cast this ballot? Lord, if you have a heart for our church, if you have a heart for who we are and what you have called us to be, what is it? What is it? We should be passionately seeking that, and then we should be passionately pursuing that. So does anybody, you know, these are known. Most churches have a mission statement, a vision statement. I kind of like the term purpose statement. Who we are, what we're about, and why we're about it. So does anybody know what that is for us, what our official purpose statement is? So y'all are saying it with such gusto. Love God. Love God. Love people. Is that how we walk it out? Well, the preacher said we're supposed to love God. There's richness in that statement. I believe it with all my heart. And I know it's a broad statement. But if you write on the back side of our baptistry area here, on the back side in the foyer, if you'll notice, go ahead and flip that up there. I took a shot of it this morning. That's actually the wall right behind me out in the foyer. And it says, Wiley Methodist exists to love God, love people, offer Christ. That's why we're here, friends in Christ. That's why we're here. And so many times we can turn that we like, oh, I go to church, I go to Wiley Methodist because they got a good children's program. And we do have a good children's program. Teresa and Carlene do a great job, and our kids are blessed and loved and all that. Or I go because I really like my community group. And I know I know what most of you are thinking. I go because the preaching's awesome, right? I knew what you were thinking, so I wanted to go ahead and say it and get it out there. You know, we so many times we look at church from a consumer's perspective, don't we? That's not the heart of God at all. It's important. It's good that we enjoy one another's fellowship. It's good that we enjoy the worship. It's good that we enjoy the programming that's here and so forth and so on. But that is not why we exist. We come here to fill our tanks to go out there. The church is out there. It's not in here. This is an equipping station for us to be the church. All right. So we exist, and so I want that to be on your lips. If somebody were to walk in, a stranger were to walk in and grab any one of you and say, "What's the purpose statement of Wiley Methodist?" I hope that most of us would quickly be able to come to love God, love people, offer Christ. And if then they may go a little bit deeper, what does that mean? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more this morning. Number one, Wiley Methodist exists to love God in response to His love for us. You see, you've heard, if you've been here for very long, you've heard this probably many times, but for 30 years, I thought the Christian journey was about being good, being a good person, going to church, being in leadership, giving some money, serving, passing out turkeys, whatever it might be. I thought the Christian life was about being good. No, the Christian life is about a God who is good. Do we understand that? Shake your head if you understand it. It's about a God who is good because we cannot be good enough to be in His favor. God's Word says, while we were yet what? Sinners, He died for us. He didn't say, oh, all the good people. He died for all the good people that had their act together. No, while we were worthless, separated from Him, sinners, that's when Jesus hung on a cross for us. We love God because He loves us. He loved us first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that gives you get a whole new perspective when you understand how He feels about you. For me, personal testimony, for me, it was when I had made a mess of things. And I'm just telling you, I'm just being real with you, only by the grace of God are Cheryl and I still married. Because I was a horrible husband for the first 10 years of our marriage. I was a horrible husband. But she stuck with me. And when God entered the picture, now, in the midst of those 10 years, we were going to church. I wasn't a pastor then, but I taught Sunday school, and I was on all the committees. That's what I'm going to tell Jesus when He's like, "Did you know I was the president of the church board for 5 years? He's not going to be impressed with that. He just isn't. He wants to hear, "I know you, and I know you know me." It wasn't until God entered the picture in our marriage that things began to change. I became as Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians, a new creation. I became a new husband. I became a new daddy. I became a new man of God because God entered the picture. And I'm telling you, when I'm sitting there, it's like I had this moment with God where I felt totally exposed before Him. It was like, and I know I already was, but in my mind, I finally got it. It's like I'm sitting here, I'm totally exposed before the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. And He is seen right through me. And I am worthless. And yet He loves me. If we learn how God loves us, then we naturally, instinctively love Him back. I want to tell you, I will never turn my back on God because I know how much He loves me. And I know how He has plucked me from the jaws of sin and death. And I know how He has saved my marriage and He has saved my family. And we get to enjoy the fruit and the benefit of that now for these last 25 plus years. We love God. We exist to love God in response to His great love for us. This past week, I told Cheryl I was going to use this as an illustration. We've got this goofy dog. Anybody got a goofy dog? We've got this goofy little dog. We've got two goofy ones, but one of them, she's so old, she barely even knows that we're in the room. But we've got this goofy little dog. It's pretty young. And she is the most lovable thing in the world, but she is the biggest pest in the world. I mean, she wants right in the middle. You got a dog like that? She wants right in the middle of our lap, whoever it is. And she's with Cheryl all the time. So when I walk in the room, it's like, you know, it's like, Daddy! You know, and she it's like, tell Cheryl, it's like a moth drawn to the flame, man. She just has to be right in my lap, and then her nose right here, you know, and you just want to throw her against the wall or something. She is, I would never do that, by the way, but she so wants to have intimacy with me. Can you imagine how God would feel if we just were that excited about sitting in His lap? That's what he yearns for with us. He wants us to want to crawl up in His lap and just be with Him. Oh, that we would be, that goofy dog's name is Bella. Oh, that we would be as excited as Bella for our relationship with God. Secondly, Wiley Methodist exists to love people on God's behalf. You notice the passage when Jesus, after Jesus is resurrected, and he's made breakfast for the disciples, and he's sitting on the beach, and they're sitting around talking, and Jesus asked Peter the question, "Do you love me?" You know the passage, and Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you," and he says, "Feed my sheep," and he asks that question three times, which is very ironic because Peter had denied Jesus three times. So he asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Feed my sheep." And I want to remind you that he doesn't say, "Do you love my sheep?" Hello, is this on? He doesn't. Our passion for people comes from God's passion for us and for people. "Do you love me?" Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." So that is the fuel for the love that we should have for neighbor, is God's love for us and God's love for them. Now here, I was just reminded of that, of this today. God does not call us to love just the lovable. Hello. I know this thing's on. God does not call us to just love the lovable. He calls us to love those that would call us names, talk about us behind our back, do things to us that they shouldn't do. People that are hard. You know anybody like that that's hard to love? Maybe you're all looking at me. maybe that's what it is. Some people are just hard to love, aren't they? And here's what I've found about people that are hard to love. They're hurting. They're hurting. And to somehow, to gain that perspective, it's like, you know, oh, so-and-so, they're really kind of a joy sucker. They're really not very nice. In fact, they're just plain mean. But they're hurting. They're mean because they're hurting. And they don't know any other way to deal with it except be mean. God is the only one who gives us the power to love like He loves. It's easy to love those that love us back, isn't it? It's so easy for those that are just all so nice to you and always embracing you and doing things for you and saying nice things about you. That's easy. The world can love like that. But Jesus is calling us to love people that don't love us back necessarily. That's challenging. That only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. I referenced it earlier, a part of this. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Christ's love compels us
So it's the love of Christ in us that compels us to love. And then he goes on to say, Christ has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, though God was making his appeal through us. So it's the message, the hope of Christ, the message of love in the face of people who reject us, that sort of love, that message, Christ has given that message to us to share. You know, I've said this before, but the most awesome moment, if you could capture a moment where love is defined and is communicated, it was like this. And Jesus, hanging on a cross, the very ones who have betrayed him, denied him, and nailed him to the cross, he looks down upon them and he says what? Father, forgive them. That's the love for people that Christ wants to place in us as his ambassadors. Now, I'm not telling you this. I'm not preaching this message saying, I got it all together. Do what I do. What I will tell you is I'm on a journey just like you are to learn to love more like Jesus every day, to learn to forgive. And then finally, the third thing, Wiley Methodist exists to offer Christ because he is the hope of the world. You know, I've mentioned it a couple of times this morning, Turkey Tuesday. Coming up, I think it's the 22nd. It's a Tuesday, always a Tuesday before Thanksgiving is when we do that. And we just finished. Many of you worked on the Kirkwood House. We restored that house to a livable condition and did so much for that family and got them in that home. And so many things that this church, the good people, you good people of this church have done in service to our community over the years. But if all we did was paint a house, if all we are going to do is pass out turkeys, if that's all we have to offer, we have nothing more than the world has. We do that as an expression of something more. We do that as an expression of Christ's love. That we have, there's no reason we should be here on this Saturday scraping or painting this house. There's no reason that we should be doing that except that Christ loves us and he loves you. And we want to show you that. And so we offer through our service, through the things that we do, we offer to be Christ's ambassadors. Now, so we read the great commandment to start off the passage today, Mark 12, and it's also found in Matthew, by the way. But in Matthew 28, we have what's known as the Great Commission. So the other is the great commandment. Who are we to be? What are we to be like? We're supposed to love God and love neighbor. And the Great Commission is, what do we do? What do we do? There's action attached to this faith. Then Jesus came to them and said, and this is important, he's in Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus is basically saying, this is the revised Jeff version, I'm the man. I'm God's man. I've proven who I am. I've proven that I have the power over sin and death. That's who I am. That's the power and authority that I have. And because you are my disciple, and because I have that authority, I'm giving it to you. Therefore, you, disciples of Jesus Christ, you, go and make disciples. There's an action. I love those two words, go and make. Go and make. We think the Christian journey is about getting our ticket to heaven. It's not. That's a great benefit, by the way. But that's not what God is calling us to do as Christians. Because once we've professed Christ, I mean, that is, we have professed him for all eternity as Lord and Savior. That's not the end. I tell people when they profess Christ and they're baptized, this isn't the starting gate. I mean, this isn't the finish line, it's the starting gate. There's action attached to our faith. Go and make disciples. Those are the words of Christ. He doesn't say go and live a long, healthy, blessed life. Go and make disciples. And then he goes on to say, and I will be with you to the end of the age. He doesn't throw us out on our own and say, go do all this work that I've assigned for you to do. He says, go and make disciples, and I will be with you. All authority is mine, and I'm transferring that authority to you. And I will be with you as you go and you make. Or we shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. Shake your head if you're being challenged this morning. God is not calling us to be consumers, church. And I'm telling you, Christians all over our nation and all over the world, we have many, many consumers. We are consumer people. Jesus said also in Matthew 9, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I don't know if y'all can really understand this, not being a pastor, but one of the things that gives me more joy than you can even imagine is a fall festival. And not just seeing the little kiddos having a great time and, you know, being junk food out and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of fun, too. They're having fun. But seeing all of you sitting there throwing cow patties, you know, if you've been, you know what I'm talking about, if you've been to the fall festival, or picking up, helping them pick up little floaty ducks, or whatever it is, whichever booth you're, to see our Christmas workshop, and see, you know, 100 volunteers, and our vacation Bible school, to see our youth working, and taking people around, and all the adults, and people doing all sorts of things, and the ones who can't maybe keep up with the kids are back in the kitchen doing snacks, and that, I can't even tell you how much joy that gives me to see God's people doing, going and making. We don't understand. Did you don't know that filling up a little cup of snacks at Vacation Bible School in the kitchen, that's going and making disciples? Do we understand that? And we all have our place. We all have our gifts. And God is calling us to engage with those gifts. This is from a man named, his quote, from William Tyndale. William Tyndale was, may have heard that name before. He translated the first English version of the Bible in 1525. And guess what? 11 years later, he was burned at the stake for it. This is the man whose words I'm fixing to quote. He said, the church is the one institution that exists for those outside of it. We don't exist for ourselves. Wiley United Methodist does not exist for itself. We exist for those that need the hope of Christ. That's why we exist. And then one more quote from a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and you've heard me quote from him before. He's one of my heroes of the faith. He was martyred for his faith. He was a Lutheran pastor in Nazi Germany, and he was martyred right at the very end of the war, because he returned back to Germany and was ministering to God's people in the midst of knowing that it was probably lead to his death. And here's what he said: The church is the church only when it exists for others. In other words, if we exist for ourselves, we're not even the church. Shake your head if you understand what I'm saying. If we exist so that we can build ourselves up and look impressive to everyone, we're not even the church. We must exist for those that need the hope of Christ. That's who I hope that we are as Wiley United Methodist Church and as His people. So real quickly, as I summarize back through this, I want to say that how do we do that? Loving God in response to His love for us. How do we do that? Engage. Press into God. Come to church. Come to worship. Not because, you know, first of all, it is a blessing to me when you're here. And I think it's we're our blessing to one another. But press into God. Come to church. Come to worship. Engage in the church. Find out how you can be involved. That is loving God. Loving people on His behalf. Get involved in a Sunday school. Get involved in a community group. You know, it is easy. I've told people this before. I've had people who've been here a month that I know better as pastor than people who've been here for 10 years. I'm just saying. Someone can come for a month and they can immediately, they can engage and they can say, what can I do? How can I be involved? What's the church about? What's your heart? Here's my heart. And I've only known them for a short time, but I know them. Or we can slip in and slip out. Slip in. It's like all that last prayer starting. This is a good... We're out. That's easy to do that. It's easy to do that. So if we want to love people, we have to know people. We have to care about people. Get involved. And then finally, offer Christ, because He is the hope of the world. As I said, we can do a lot of good things, helping people, doing also working at the food pantry. There's all sorts of things that our church is involved in. But what we really have that will change the world to offer is Christ. That's what will change the world. You know, that house, if you've been in this part of the country, that house we painted a few weeks ago, guess what? Next summer, it's going to need it again. May not even make it to the summer. First few days of 100-degree days, it's going to need painting again. Once you have Christ, you have Christ. You don't need Him again because He's with you always. You know, so that's the heart of God for our church. And so as we come today to partake in the Lord's Supper, you've heard me say before that I took this meal for granted for a long, long time. But this is a costly meal. Christ, He didn't establish a bunch of rules when he established this meal. He basically said to do it. I had somebody the other day, he's like, why don't we have communion every week? Well, my question is, why don't we have it every day? Why don't we have it every hour? Why don't we have it once a quarter? God didn't say how often we're supposed to have it. He said, do it. Do what we're fixing to do. He said, do it. And then He said, when you do it, remember Me. Because that's why you're doing it. To remember Me. Christ, before he served that first Lord's Supper on that night before He was betrayed, right before that, He washed the disciples' feet. He was setting an example that this is a place of self-surrender. This is a place, this table that I'm setting here for you to do and to remember is a place of selflessness. And He set us that example. So this is at the very heart of who we are in Christ. And it's at the very heart of who we are as a church. Is that while we are one body, we celebrate that Christ allowed His body to be broken so that we would be whole. He allowed His to be broken so that we could be whole. We have that to offer to a hurting world. In that same night, He also took the cup and He blessed it, and He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. No longer are we going to have to sacrifice these animals and obey the law. It's like, this is an everlasting new covenant that I'm establishing in My blood. And He said, do it and remember Me when you do it. Remember the sacrifice of this meal. If you pray with me, Lord, I pray Your blessing, Your anointing on this bread and on this cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ. We thank You, Lord, that You were willing to give Yourself up so that we might be whole. In Jesus' name, amen. As the praise team and the servers sound team comes forward, as you're preparing your hearts to partake in this meal, I'll give you a few more instructions in just a moment. I pray that you'd pray your own private prayer of confession. We don't come to this table as a perfect people. We come as a redeemed people. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. It's not my table. It's not Wiley Methodist's table. It's the Lord's table. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome at this table. You're also welcome to not participate if that's okay with us, if that's what you'd rather do. But we hope you feel invited. These two stations here and these two stations here, you'll be given a piece of bread. You'll dip it, the bread into the cup. Partake in that manner. The center section has the individual crackers and cups here. If you would like to be served in that manner, you can come to the center. The altar rail is open. The invitation from Christ is made. Come.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a prayer. Precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and
Wiley Methodist Church, why do we exist? Work on it this week, okay? Go and tell somebody. We are dismissed. God bless you.